Okay, welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. I'm Simon. I'm here tonight with Matthew. Say hello, Matthew.
I'm barely here.
He's barely here. Is James here?
I'm Bashaksha here.
He's Bashaksha here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm present.
He's present.
You brought my absolute, like my whole facade then of being moody and annoyed.
Nah, come on, you can't be. Let's enjoy ourselves.
We've got to be up in spirits tonight. It might be tough.
I'm optimistic about this podcast.
You're optimistic about this podcast, yeah. But not necessarily about Europa League and Champions League and
no.
United in general.
No.
Podcast
good. United bad. I'm looking.
United definitely middling. Good, bad, all within the same game. Same old story as it's been for weeks again. And yet again, we went behind early. And I, for one, was saying, as soon as we went two down, that even though we have been coming back recently, it felt like a bridge too far. I don't know, what was your take on it, Matt, in the early stage? Did you believe that we could do it? I mean, we went down with some pretty shoddy defending. We looked all over the place at the back.
Yeah, we did. Today wasn't an occasion where I actually thought we could come back. I think it's just because of the manner that we conceded the two goals, like in such quick successions, and just like you said, looking absolutely like piss poor at the back. Like there's no real excuse for how bad they were, and like how unorganised they were. Like Wan-Bissaka just being completely all at sea. I'm pretty sure he forgot how to defend for that first 20 odd minutes. I'm pretty sure he didn't even know what he was supposed to do on the pitch.
Yeah,
the worst thing is, we were seeing it this weekend in the game just gone, where he's been pulled out of position and he's not where he's supposed to be, and he'd been left open.
Yeah, but it's a common theme for the fullbacks wherever they're playing at the moment. They're getting. You kind of feel like they don't really know too much what they're doing in that formation, they were discussing it on the BT Sport coverage in that they weren't really playing with a striker and they were just pulling us all over the place and we didn't know how to react to that. And as Rio pointed out, Ollie didn't react until half time, and it obviously got a bit better. Then we'll get to that. What did you think to the start, James? Surely similar.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to agree with Matt on that one. I think the defensive frailties were taken advantage of, and you've got to ask yourself, are teams looking at United and thinking, we can expose that?
Early.
Yeah, early doors, especially these days. You know, and you've got to, with this game in particular, I was sat watching it, and I actually genuinely, Matt, I thought we could come back. I was in the minority, or, well, I don't know, people listening, I don't know. But I sat here and I thought, yeah, I think we can come back from this, even when the second goal went in. But because obviously that's been our thing, that's been our kind of superpower recently, being able to get back into a game, just finding sort of something from somewhere. But yeah, with that first goal, I sort of thought, yeah, because Wan-Bissaka was, his positioning was pretty poor. I mean, but then I don't know what the tactics are. I don't know what, I mean, they started with sort of a five at the back, or potentially a five at the back, depending on how the game went. And still we were getting sort of picked off, or again, specifically, Wan-Bissaka being drawn right into that sort of, almost to the penalty spot, and then he's got a player behind him, which we've seen so many times.
Tellez has been doing the same thing, and Luke Shaw's been guilty of it in the past as well.
We've mentioned that at the pub before, haven't we?
Yeah, whatever happens, the always seem to be getting dragged into a position that they're not supposed to be in and leaving someone behind them. It's happened. It'd be interesting to have a look back and see just how many times that's happened to us, even in the last 6 months or so.
Oh, well, the one game I can pinpoint as an example where I was screaming at the screen about it, it's like the Brighton game where we won.
Oh, yeah, Wan-Bissaka was getting caught all the time.
Seemingly every single time. And then we didn't learn from our mistakes. And then all of a sudden, I mean, we won the game in the end, because obviously the game went to 90 plus 10 minutes. It's the most bizarre game I've ever seen in my life. No questions asked. But Wan-Bissaka getting caught out. I love the guy. We all do. But I don't know.
Seems like his best defending only happens when he's either on the back foot or if he's just in a one-on-one position.
Yeah.
Like one-on-one situation. Apart from that, he always seems to be caught out.
Yeah, it is a bit of an issue. I mean, the Sevilla semi-final as well, we were done by a cross in that, and it's clearly a weakness to the defensive line, that which, in fairness, wasn't too bad last year. I mean, whether the stats are making us look better than we actually were, but we had umpteen clean sheets, so especially in the latter half of the season, we were great for clean sheets, and we weren't really conceding too many goals, even though we had periods in games where we were looking a bit suspect. But again, tonight we've been undone by something, by essentially just giving teams a head start, which we've done so many times in the past few weeks, gotten away with it with some moments of magic and admittedly great comebacks. But you just feel that against a side with proper quality, we're always in trouble. I did think we got a handle on it in like the first 20 minutes or so, though. After about 20 minutes, I thought we started imposing ourselves on the game. We had the Greenwood chance. We've said it a few times in the last few weeks, he could have done a little better. I mean, he looked confident tonight, to be fair. He was doing drag backs and was looking forward all the time, and he didn't look shy of confidence, I don't think. But
no.
What did you make of his performance tonight?
I wouldn't say it's one of his best ones, but moments of brilliance. Again, we're not very clinical, which you expect him to be a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing you kind of expect from Greenwood, isn't it?
All people say is how good of a finisher is, but didn't really see a lot of that tonight at all. Like no. all these shots just seem to just lack any sort of conviction, which is a bit annoying, because the rest of his play was very good and very, very decent.
Yeah, so. I think it was his build up play and his linking play and obviously he won the penalty later on. It was that sort of stuff that was good tonight from him. But yeah, maybe just the end product.
Yeah, he lacked the finish, which again with a player of Greenwood's calibre, I've said a couple of times on this podcast, there's sometimes where he's come in and he's bared down on goal. And you're just thinking, you've seen so many times, he doesn't even... Sometimes the keeper can't even react fast enough because he's hit it so low and hard into that corner, or is it through the keeper or something like that. And tonight, like a lot of players, when it came to the end product, it just sort of wasn't working for him. But yeah, he carried the ball really, really well.
Mm.
And he
was switching play a lot as well, weren't he?
He was.
He was always his head up.
He was, and we've got to remember his age and stuff like that. He's still coming into the team. But then... Was that two Maradona turns?
Yeah.
So it's fitting for the the week or fortnight of Maradona passing away, sadly. But yeah, two Maradona turns in the same game. High calibre of operation. High calibre of opposition as well. But yeah, he just didn't manage to get himself on the score sheet tonight. But
yeah, you don't want to be too critical of him.
He wasn't okay.
It was no way his fault tonight. I thought he was actually one of our best players. It was just that chance, wasn't it? But
yeah, he was bright, wasn't he?
Yeah, Rashford. I get also looked okay again tonight. He had the opportunity where he was through, and he kind of got it stuck under his feet and tried to drag it onto his left and then do a step over, and maybe it was one trick too many. He also gave us a pretty humorous moment when he got taken out of the game, and because the crowd noise wasn't very loud on BT,
yeah.
It was a bit of a swearing treat right in plain view, which was nice. other than that, we didn't create too much in the first half. I think there was a Maguire header that we claimed handball for, but I think we got a foul given against us. I think the other big standout thing in the first half was the ref. Some of his decisions. I mean, he loved himself, didn't he?
What do you call him?
Oh, like Mike.
He said
he was like a Danish Mike Dean, so
yeah,
you can see where we're going.
I have to confirm whether he's Danish or not, but there's or Norwegian, actually, to be fair, because there's someone on Twitter who is Norwegian, and he was tweeting saying, like, I can't remember his name at the minute, he was saying, yeah, Man United fans seem to be surprised that this referee is being so extra or whatever.
He's from Spain.
He's Spanish, but he's got Norwegian. Oh, the ref's been...
Yeah, the ref.
Fair enough, okay. Well, everything I said was nonsense then, but as per usual.
We had a pun of Mike Dane.
Mike Dane?
But it was... it's all gone to waste now because he's Spanish.
I can still live
called Mikel Dave.
Spanish referee.
does it? Mikael Dean.
Well, he was extra, wasn't he?
He was extra.
Very extra, with his gloves on. He loved it. He loved it.
Cards galore. So many cards. Yeah.
For the wrong reason.
So. Cards, by the way, but there must be about 8 or 9. There must be.
Well, I'm happy to say there was a few.
There was so
I'll tell you how many cards.
I'm pretty sure half our players were booked.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Good guess.
There you go.
Good guess.
Fantastic. We're not even at Matt's betting corner yet.
Yeah, we've not even got there yet.
We've not even got to Matt's bet club yet. I'm not even aware of what he put on, but we'll find out later. Bruno got booked early doors for Descent. Luke Shaw got booked for a
wonderful tackle.
Wonderful tackle. Yeah.
You got a bit. Yeah, it was.
Absolute madness.
Then the touchline got done, I presume, because the United bench was giving it some, which has kind of been reported a lot recently, that they've been quite vocal, and I think Pogba got done in one of the last games for shouting and remonstrating with the ref from the touchline on the bench. So that's kind of good to hear. Obviously, but
that goes against everything we've heard over the past few days, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get onto that a bit later.
He is on the list of things to cover on this one, funnily enough. But yeah, other than that, not too much to cover in the first half. There was, sorry to bring him up again, but Aaron Wan-Bissaka's dreadful back heel that just put us in trouble again, and he really didn't have a fantastic game tonight, really. What was he thinking? He even saw Luke Shaw bollocking him, which Luke Shaw's normally the one getting bollocked.
Yeah, that's
so
funny.
When Luke Shaw's bollocking someone, you know something's up. if you kind of felt like if we got a goal at the end of that first half, you thought we had a chance.
There just wasn't much to go off, though, was there, really? We were offering enough going forward. I think there was one decent, was it, that one ball that we talked about before where Rashford kind of fell over his own feet a bit. That was a fantastic ball through. Was it Scotty that put that through?
I'm not sure who played
that. That's the only real thing I can think of that was could have changed the game or made us look half decent, because apart from that, there were just not a lot to go off, and it was just frustrating to watch. And I'm not sure if he's on the list or not, but I'll tell you who would have made a difference in that game. Would have been Fred.
Yeah, I think
if he would have been there, he probably would have caused a bit more havoc in that midfield, not given him much time, not given him much space, and made it really difficult for him. He might have got booked, but
everybody else did, so.
Everyone else did, so it wouldn't have mattered. But I think we did miss something like that from the game, because there were no intensity really from Matic.
Mm.
And we know Scott has it, but he can't do it all himself, and that's why the Fred and McTominay combo work really well.
Because they're both tenacious.
Yeah, exactly. And we needed tenacious tonight, because no one else really looked tenacious at all.
No. Well, it seemed clear that he had to make a change at half-time, and in fairness, Solskjaer has done that quite a lot recently. He's acted promptly, and his decision this time was to bring Van der Beek on. That did seem to have an impact early doors in the first half, James.
Yeah, it did. I'm a big...
Second half, yeah.
The back half.
Yeah, the back half, of course.
Not the front half, the back half of the game.
Back of the bottom half.
But yeah, I'm a big Van der Beek fan. I like what he sort of brings to the team, and you know, the more we see of him, usually the better. And admittedly, yeah, his first touch of the game was a bit erratic and a bit sort of strange, like he just spooned a pass to sort of nobody or whatever. But as we know, he's a very sort of tidy player, and he links things together quite nicely, and he genuinely gets on with his business, and he was good. And things, you know, you've got to argue things did start to sort of look up for us when he came on, amongst others.
And changing the shape as well was part of that change, weren't it? I think we did look more comfortable in like a traditional back four, and I'm not sure who was actually playing where at some point, so to be fair.
Yeah, well, that's been a theme of the last few weeks, I think, as well. And, you know, I hate to. I know this isn't the kind of podcast for that kind of thing. I'm not going to. It's not necessarily for us to talk about the validity of the manager and you know, how tenable this position is and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go really into that.
You can do if you want.
I will.
It
is definitely what we're talking about. Like, that's the
but we're talking about the game. We're talking about the game, though, aren't we? We're talking about the game.
We'll get the fallouts from the game.
There will be questions asked about the game.
We've already got.
It's getting a bit heated in there.
Calm down. Yeah, we've got a new Devil's Trident club on Facebook, and I asked for any input of what we should talk about, and funnily enough, Ollie was one of the issues to discuss, so it's on the list. We can come back to it in depth later.
We'll do that later.
I see what you're saying. We need to stick to the game in that
respect.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We'll do that later. But
One thing at a time.
Yeah, of course. So Van der Beek came on and things did start to look up then, and he's a very tactically disciplined sort of player, and he's just very tenacious. Well, yeah, he's got a bit of tenacity about him as well, but he's got like creativity too, and rarely gives the ball away, except for his first touch, pretty much where he gave the ball away massively. But I like him, and he'll grow into that kind of... Yeah, he'll grow into that Man United shirt, I'm pretty certain.
In the second half, like we say, we did, especially the first 5 minutes of the second half, it looked like we could be on here. Rashford had a bit of a mazy run. I think he had a couple, actually, where he's done it a few times recently, where he's slalomed his way through and kind of looked like he was going across the goal to try and get a shot off. He didn't eventually get his shot off. But we were creating opportunities and we were drawing fouls on the edge of the box, which was meaning we were getting free kicks on the edge of the box and we were forcing corners. But Bruno, before the hour mark, his delivery weren't the best. Some poor corners.
I'd say that's putting it politely, really. Yeah. I'd say the most of them were piss poor.
Yeah.
For Bruno's standard.
Yeah, we were failing to beat the first man. There was that bit of a mix. I don't know if it was a mix-up between Fernandes and Luke Shaw just before Shaw came on, where he just was it Fernandes just left it to Luke Shaw and he didn't beat the first man, and it was
he essentially just rolled it off to him, and then Luke was like, "Oh, I'm hitting it, am I?" And then just went, "Oh, right, I'll hit it," and then just went, it just went nowhere.
That was absolutely ridiculous. And I'll jump in just for a second here because in the Arsenal game, you know, Arsenal versus Tottenham at the weekend, there were a few set pieces that Arsenal took, and you can see this kind of next level coaching coming in. You know, your Artetas of this world sort of coming in with, I've worked under Pep, so I know how things can be revolutionised or whatever. But some of them set pieces, you know, when it comes to like a corner or a free kick that's pretty much on a really good angle where you can put it in and, you know,
just put it in space. Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing something and I'm no expert, but I don't know. Sometimes they want to adjust the angle a bit too much and be a bit too clever with it. I mean, sometimes you've got a good delivery, a good person that can deliver the ball and people that can attack the ball. Just put it in the space.
Well, you're giving the defence a chance to set, aren't you? And
yeah, reset, almost.
Yeah.
So
it does seem pointless. They would definitely weren't gaining anything from Bruno nudging it to Luke Shaw.
Bruno Fernandes, who could have just whipped it in himself, just went, "Tell you what, Luke, you take this one, pal."
Yeah.
And Luke Shaw has a few assists. Let's not sort of tar him with that brush, because sometimes he can assist. Like, you know, I'm not being sarcastic. He can. Mm. Sometimes he's put the ball in. He's put some really good balls in. But to just deftly roll that to him, it's hardly Beckham and Giggs. That's all I'm saying. It's hardly Beckham and Giggs when it was like, "Oh, who's going to take? Oh, Jesus, you know."
Or Ashley Young and Wayne Rooney, the Arsenal 8-2. Ashley Young would claim an assist just for literally standing on the ball for Rooney to hit free kicks in. Assist? Yeah? I suppose you can have that one.
What a day.
Yeah. That was Luke Shaw's last action. He brought off for Brandon Williams. The man in the news was brought on as well at the same time. Paul Pogba. Nemanja Matic came off. Pogba was okay when he came on, to be fair. We'll get to the other bits later on. But stuff did start happening. Again, we were winning, like I said, we were winning free kicks around the edge of the box and popping off efforts. Bruno had a long ranger that just went wide, I think it was. No, it didn't, it just went wide. The keeper saved it, forced a save just down to his right-hand side, innit? And then we got a free kick and Bruno hit the bar. How much did you think we were on then?
Yeah, to be fair, I may have done a little wee wee in my pants for that one. I wasn't that excited about the prospect of it going in, but it just wasn't our day for that kind of stuff, was it? Really? I mean, the keeper had a fantastic game in general, Leipzig's keeper. But if we'd have just been a bit more clinical, it would have been a different story, maybe. But you could definitely see the impact that the likes of Pogba made on the game. The weird thing about Pogba, like, they didn't really seem to have much pressure on him when it came on, so he kind of had the time to do his floaty round thing and find decent passes and stuff.
Mm.
When he's not being hounded and he can't lose the ball, he won't lose the ball because he can actually play football. But if you pressure him too much and like kind of out-muscle him, he'll lose it. And that, I think, that's the difference today, where they didn't really pressure him that much, so he managed to do a bit more, which Paul's good at it when he wants to do it, and when he can do it, when he's given the opportunity to do it, he will do it. And there was opportunity tonight where he was doing it. And
yeah,
it was good to see him actually play decently. I think it might have been better if he started the second half, personally. I think he probably would have been a bit better, with a bit more time, could have helped.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I think Solskjaer was reluctant to... I think he'll probably felt a little bit open with both Van der Beek and Pogba and Fernandes on. I think it was probably an element of caution and seeing where we're at. And we were still needing two goals at that point when he brought Pogba on, but obviously straight away after the free kick, we went three down. And at that point in my notes, I wrote the words, "See ya," because it felt dead and buried then. Atrocious defending again. And again from across. Who's at fault? De Gea, Maguire, everyone?
Ah, listen, it's...
I honestly thought you were going to go into Rakim there.
Well, he's not in the building just yet, anyway. No, it was... I feel like Roy Keane's. I feel a little bit annoyed. Because the moment that goal went in, and it was calamitous, it was a deflection that sort of bounced into the box, and then it's a case of who's dealing with it. Is Maguire dealing with it, or is De Gea dealing with it? Neither did, and it just, you know, but Justin Kluivert, to be fair to him, give the boy some credit. Good yeah. player. As he came on, I noted, this lad's pretty good. And he just scooped it, didn't he? He just read the situation really well, scooped yeah. it in. And it was poor. And you start thinking to yourself, well, you know, I thought, as much as a lot of other fans would have thought the same thing, we've seen this pattern emerging where we go 2-0 down, or we go 1-0 down, or whatever, especially away from home. And then we come alive. And then we start scoring. And then it's like, right, we're back in it. Sort of deep into the second half, or at least in the second half.
Yeah, this was around comeback time as well,
exactly.
Weren't it?
So, all right, yeah, so that was a
comeback
bit of
or clock.
Yeah, it was a bit of a, you know, it nixed the plans a little bit. But the thing is, you know, United are becoming a little bit like Superman. They are reactive, they are not proactive.
Mm.
You know, Superman waits for something to go drastically wrong and then he reacts. He should put plans in place, go around the city just telling people to be careful.
That's why he's a terrible superhero.
That's the Superman film I want to watch. But
who plays him in this one?
Brendan Fraser. No, Scott McTominay plays Superman.
I was going to say, it's going to have to be United player that plays.
Big Scotty T.
Yeah, Scotty T. Give him that on his birthday.
Yeah, but I can't... This part of a broader problem, because it's the way we started the game, and you're giving away these chances and you're giving away goals, and then it makes the comeback a lot harder. And when that third goal went in, I think instantly I was saying, Jesus, there's goals in us here. And now we've just made it slightly out. I mean, no one ever wants to go 3-0 down away or at home. You know, it's one of those things. But in a situation where you just need to draw, just get a point. And how silly it was. I mean, you can kind of forgive someone, you know, cheeky little cry turn, and they smash it in the top corner. What can you do? Hey, I can't get close to it. Or whatever. But that was just so farcical and silly. And then
we do the business.
And then we do the business, though, because I knew it was coming. I knew the goals would be there somehow. I don't know how, but this sort of... It's a bit dangerous, really, to maybe... Because us as fans, and again, this is part of a broader problem, maybe, but us as fans, especially me, I'm thinking, ah, well, you know, 2-0 down, they'll probably come to life in the second half. I don't know how much of that filters to the players.
Mm.
I know we're not in the ground.
Well, I text Wan-Bissaka and told him to sort his shit out.
Well, I'm glad you did, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. He seemed to
did he get his phone on him in the second half? Just, oh, there you go, it's...
You have to check. They have to like each other's Instagram posts, don't they? So, and the United one. So they probably do that at half time, don't they?
Obviously.
So that's why he checked his phone.
But it's just dangerous, and we knew it was gonna one of these days it was gonna bite us in the ass. to be so complacent in the first half. I know no one sets out to be complacent, do they? Tell you what, lads. Be right laughing first half, won't it? Let's just not bother.
I don't know. It feels like they do sometimes. Yeah, it feels like they want to make it hard.
Even the way they approach it when they were being interviewed, it's like, well, we didn't start the game quick enough. Well, you know that this keeps happening, so why are you even... Why is it getting to the stage where this is happening every single game now? Yeah, where you're not being like, something needs to change. Like,
are they in their own heads about it?
Yeah, maybe. But it was that under Mourinho as well, a couple of years ago, where, I mean, in the build-up to his sacking, there was a few games where we were going, you know, 1 or 2 nil down, and we were kind of... I mean, the Newcastle games brings to mind, you know, he was on the brink of getting fired, it seems, and we turned it around and just... I don't know, you'd think, guys... Just, I mean, I'm no expert, but guys, just the first 15 minutes, let's at least just let's get our heads in here, let's get settled and work from there.
Let's just get in the game. Let's not be a passenger of the game.
Yeah.
Well, we did get back into the game in the stereotypical Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Manchester United fashion through Bruno Fernandes' penalty, arguably a little bit soft. I'm not sure it was. I mean, it looked like it was just a coming together and Greenwood's just bounced off the defender, I think, hasn't he? I'm surprised they didn't go to VAR properly and check that, but the extra referee was pretty adamant. So, a penalty like, it was.
I feel like Greenwood might have been going to some sort of wrestling school, learning how to sell on things. If you don't know what selling is, it's when you sell a move is when you... when you can obviously perform the attack on yourself really well and make it look like really real. And I think that's what he did there. He really, really sold it well.
He bought a few things. Like, bought or sold, whichever way you want to look at it. He bought a few free kicks by selling his fouls. And yeah, he probably got away with one a little bit there. But it got us back into the game. It made it exciting. And then even more exciting when... We didn't really know what was going on at first. I mean, there was a bit of confusion, and I don't think any of the players on the pitch really were certain that the goal had been given.
I think Paul was. Paul was very adamant.
Yeah, he looked...
After about 10 seconds, he looked and was like, yeah, this is happening. Come on, everyone, let's go. Cause I've scored that.
I thought it came off... initially, I've not looked too much at the replays, but I thought it actually came off Maguire's hand. I thought we were going to get it ruled out for a handball against us. And then it was... It would have been handball for them anyway, regardless, wouldn't it? But if Maguire handballed it first, then obviously that would have been it. But
yeah. Well, Pogba was convinced, and rightly so, because as we know, Harry Maguire's head's so big that his hands become kind of irrelevant in a situation like that. If it hits Maguire, it's probably his head. So just rule it as a goal, boys. Like, why are we even just imagine
a T-Rex. Mm. That's the kind of portion you're thinking between head and hands.
Yeah,
but that was the thing. That was kind of the conflict, really. As soon as Pogba started warming up to come on, I know. We can talk about this at length another time. But you start thinking, then, you know, I think were we 2-0 down when Pogba came on? I think he was when he
yeah 2-0 yeah 2-0 down when he came on. Right. Bruno hit the bar. Then
that's right,
they
and
went
then,
and scored
okay,
the third.
So
yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, and then so you're thinking, you know, with everything that's come out this week. You're sort of wondering if Solskjaer was going to leave him out. Well, obviously, the squad were travelling anyway, so I guess, you know. But just loads of question marks and all this. And then, to salvage a game, Paul, we need you to go on there and influence things. And if you read between the lines, this is a player that doesn't want to be here.
Mm.
You know, and you've got to kind of wonder. I mean, yeah, sure, he's a professional and he'll do his job, and he'll do his job very well. Well, you think so anyway. And with the Pogba that we've seen past couple of seasons, four seasons, you might say. You know, we're never quite sure who's showing up. And that's why I thought, like, this is a bit of a silly situation, really, for Man United to be in, you know?
It was kind of written that he would have an impact, though. And I think he kind of did. Well, he did have a positive
great.
Influence.
It was really good tonight, to be fair.
I'll say that, it was. Yeah. I think the last bit of hope we had was that cross that he put in that ended up hitting the defender and just bouncing to the goalkeeper when Maguire was lurking behind. And
well, that was it, last kick again.
Yeah, it would have been absolute scenes, I think, if that had come off. It'd have been an assist and either a goal or two assists for him, because I don't know if Maguire's been given that goal. I think
he showed it. It did loads of stuff.
It did hit Maguire's big Swede, so.
And then the defender, and then the goalkeeper, and then the roof of the net. So.
Yes.
So who knows these days?
Let's put it down to Misk, that one.
Yeah. Either way, Pogba had an influence. It wasn't to be. So it's Europa League for us, which is it's not something I want to even think about right now, but it is back to Thursday nights and Thursday nights and Sundays, yeah. Hugely disappointing. But we've got to get back to the Premier League now, so we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and discuss the City game, touch upon the West Ham game and talk about the events with Pogba and his gobshite agent next. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Right, okay, we're back. We touched on the Pogba issue during the game chat. Now we can get into it properly. If you've been living under some sort of rock for the last couple of days, you won't be aware that Mino Raiola, Paul Pogba's agent, has again been in the press, in the Italian press, saying that Paul Pogba is leaving. I think his explicit line was, I can say that Paul Pogba's time at Manchester United is over, or words to that effect. It seems like he's also planned the timing of this interview. I think it took place a few days ago. I might be wrong on that, so don't quote me on that. But either way, the full interview came out today on the day of the game, and bits were leaked last night, which would be Monday night. It's all very deliberate. And we have to question whether Paul Pogba knows that Mino Raiola is going to say these things. I mean, it's happened so many times now. And it went a little bit quiet, as if he'd been told to shut the fuck up. But here we are again. Paul Pogba's not starting games. He's apparently unhappy. I think that was one of the quotes from the interview. What goes on here now, Matt? What would you do with him? What should the manager do with him? What should the club do with him? What's best for everybody? I don't.
It's a tough one, this, and we'll start off saying I am bored as hell with it. I'm so bored with the whole saga with it. If it means all this goes away and all the unnecessary negative press that United get, you can go. For me, he's a very good player. We know he's got lots of talent, but we don't need that associated with us anymore. And maybe it is time he just goes. But I think it is all a bit too odd that all these interviews come out. And like you said, you wonder if Pogba even has any sort of idea about what's going on. But
he'll know what's going on, surely. Yeah, but
no, I meant like what he knows his agent's going to do. Like, it just seems like tactics to get him back in the headlines and get him back at the forefront of everyone talking, which obviously just raises Pogba's profile again, doesn't it?
Yeah, but his profile's raised already, but just in a bad way at the moment, or it has been. I mean, he's coming into a little bit of form now, and maybe he's capitalised on that.
Well, yeah, I think the point is because he's not been playing. You think that Solskjaer might be making a point by going, no, look, he wants to play. Look, he's going to play tonight. He's going to give it his all. He's going to come and do what he does. Which, again, just raises his profile because it makes him look like a decent player again. Maybe it is a bit of just tactical thinking
Raiola.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Or maybe it is just tactics on his part, just trying to raise Pogba's profile as much as he possibly can do by playing mind games and getting the better of all it, and he's working, isn't it, really?
Do you mean in a way to get him a move, or just
yeah,
to get
way,
him back?
Yeah,
in...
either or. Because United have to react to it, and they have done. Yesterday, they posted something on Instagram saying, "Oh, absolute passion from Paul Pogba," where they quoted Pogba by saying, "This is a really big for my for this. This is a really big week for this club. We've got two really important games,
yeah.
And everyone is really pumped." And I like, we need to get behind. Everyone needs to get behind it.
And it went down like a lead balloon.
Well, they could have done. They should have just stayed away from that, because all they've done is made it worse.
It might have been scheduled, but you'd think that someone would have stepped in to stop it.
Exactly, and that's where you need to look at, especially with the thing that's going on with the club at the moment. Like, things are like, there's stuff behind the scenes that are going like badly wrong. The whole leaking, the cyber attack, still going on. You've got Man United employees can't answer emails. Like, they're not even allowed to use their email systems because they're still at risk.
Yeah,
and it just seems like everything just seems to be just so like up in the air with everything. And he's stuff picked, like that, he's just
Raiola's picked his moment, hasn't he? I think.
But like that's another example of just the club just not getting stuff right, and the handling of Paul Pogba, they are not getting right. And I feel like Ollie's getting bullied because he obviously had plans for Pogba, didn't he? And he wanted to build a team around him. But it's clear that Pogba can't be trusted to do that and will not give us what we need to be able to like make that plan come to fruition. So Ollie's trying to do what he can do to make sure he's doing what's best for the team, but then you've got his agent piping off, you've got the club trying to handle it the way they can do, but probably also trying to push him to be able to play Pogba, to show him the fact that we need to show trust in him, like that we want him to stay and we want him to perform. I mean, then if he does, then yeah, it's all smiles again. And it might go away or it might not do, but it's just, there's too much to dissect from it to say that it's not just straightforward, Pop wants to leave.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he does.
Well, it's funny you should say that about Ollie being bullied, because the question that I put out there in the Facebook group tonight was, what topics should we cover? And straight away it was the fact, has Ollie been allowed a player to be bigger than the club and get away with it? That was from Dan in the group. Thanks for that.
Cheers for getting involved there, Dan. We need more people getting involved to help drive the content for this. Yeah. So it's good that people are doing that. So
yeah, cool. Has he been bullied, do you think, James?
Well, thank you, Dan, first and foremost. Well, this to me reminds me, it's the closest thing I can think of to sort of back in about, I think it was about 2001. It dates that far back. To Sir Alex Ferguson versus David Beckham. And it was a whole thing, bit of a war of attrition there in all the camps, of course. Instead of Mino Raiola, we had Victoria Beckham. And yeah, I mean, it's trivial. You can laugh at that, but there was something serious going on behind the scenes there, and went on for a couple of years. Beckham was benched in a very... I mean, Beckham was Beckham, by the way. I mean, don't think anyone needs reminding of that.
There's a similar sort of high-profile nature to both players, isn't there? Definitely. Very different, obviously, but...
Definitely, but I suppose it's the equivalent. What I'm saying is it's sort of the
modern
equivalent
day.
But then neither player in this particular play are as good as as the former in this scenario, so it's kind of a bit depressing in that scenario. But, there was a real sort of war going on there, and Sir Alex Ferguson didn't blink, and even though David Beckham admittedly was one of his most talented players, he just had to go, and he went, and Beckham is Beckham, you know. He went on and lived a really good life and played in some really good leagues and did some really fantastic things when he wasn't with us. But then Sir Alex and the people around him had the foresight to sign a young lad, Cristiano Ronaldo, something like that, to replace him. I don't know what he did in his career.
Yeah,
probably
Chris something or other,
I don't know. But they give him number 7 shirt anyway. Ronaldo, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, but this, no, the constant headlines and the constant hashtag cracked badges, you know, United in turmoil. We had it with Mourinho too, Mourinho coming. And to be fair though, no, I think this applies more to Mourinho and Pogba, because that got pretty ugly in the press. Whereas this, Solskjaer always tried.
Solskjaer's handling it, or from my perspective,
yeah.
I think he's handling it how he has to. He can't diminish Paul Pogba's value any more than he's already done himself by the odd poor performance and missing a season through injury. Obviously, that's not his fault, but his value has gone down from the 90 million that we bought him for. Yeah. I mean, it's not gone up. There was times where maybe he was worth around that. Maybe at the start of Ollie's reign and bits of Mourinho's tenure, that's obviously up for debate. But now, in the pandemic, or maybe soon to be post-pandemic, there's not going to be a big club that can afford him. And, or at least at the price that we would like to sell him for. So now, it's up to Ollie to get his value back up, and Pogba's, by the way. It's up to him to get his value back up, because I think the end goal is probably that he does get moved on. But they can't have such a loss on him and let him go for practically nothing. There's a chance he goes at the end of his contract and just goes on a free, which is maybe we've got some value.
We can't do that.
At this rate, it's not that he's going to Real Madrid, he's going to Everton, isn't he? You know, it's the kind of like, yeah, you know, go on, that's like our feeder club sort of thing, well, jokingly. But no, it's a funny one because, you know, anyone listening to this podcast will have heard the opinions of others like Jamie Carragher and Neville and all of that. And everyone's, yeah, they've got really good opinions about Pogba. He's really, really good. I think it was Carragher that said, yeah, he's maybe not a world-class player, he's a world-class talent. Can do things with a football that other people can only dream of. But when it comes to positional discipline and things like that, you know, maybe he's lacking some certain bits. Yeah. But I will say, I will echo tonight, he was good, actually. He was good, but I was conflicted when it came to the point where, okay, we've had this stuff in the press. Solskjaer and everybody else is clearly aware of all this sort of stuff, you know. And now we've got half an hour left in the game and we're throwing this guy on and expecting miracles out of him. To, well, not, you know, him specifically, but it's like, Paul, you gotta help us swing the tide here. And does he want to be there even?
I'm not sure he's switched off in that respect, but I don't think he wants to be there next season. I mean, you have to think about it in a way that this is probably the peak of his career, and does he feel like he's wasting his time at United by being here when we're not competing at the very top? But yeah, he also, like I alluded to, he has to be realistic about where he can go right now. And I just feel like it's kind of a job between him and the club to get his value up, to make him worth selling for a decent fee right now, rather than just letting him dwindle, not playing him, letting him go for free and us making a massive loss. I mean, I think we can extend his contract. I think I'm right in saying that his contract can go up to next summer, not the summer coming. So we could sell him, we could extend his contract this year and then sell him in the summer. But we would want to sell him for a fee. So we can't. So like Solskjaer's done with Lukaku and Sanchez, a few other players, he talked them up before they went, because he doesn't want to go, oh, he doesn't want to give off the impression that the player is worthless to him, because that's not a great it's not a great sales technique, is it? Yeah. So he's not going to speak ill of him. I don't think he's going to banish him to the reserves or anything like that. I think he's going to use him when he can, try and let him show what he can do. And I think there's probably an acceptance that he is going.
Yeah. Well, I think,
but we need some money back for him. We need something.
Well, that's probably the better way of dealing with it, and fair enough, if that's the plan of action that we're going to go down, that's great, because if you look at players like Ozil, who sat, like, he's not even in the squad, is he?
No, he's sat fighting into his couch at home.
So
he's not even doing anything.
And you've got a talent like that, and you saw the same with Sanchez when we had him, where he needed to go somewhere because we couldn't keep him, and maybe we have to kind of grit our teeth and put up with a average Paul Pogba for another couple of months in order to go, but
I just don't want
the media anymore. I don't want the media circus around it.
No, the circus has to end.
Something in place that goes, right, if this is going to happen and we're all in agreement that you're going to go, then you need to shut the fuck up, you need to start playing better football, and we'll just get on with it.
Yeah,
and we'll part ways.
Yeah, and I think that's the way that Solskjaer would like to handle it, and possibly the way that Pogba would like to handle it, but he can't get a handle on his own agent, and I don't. He's obviously never really shut him up, and he must be aware of the stuff he's going to say. And in that way, he doesn't help himself, because he never goes against him publicly either, does he? He never says, my agent has said that, and that's not what I believe. He's never come out and gone, I want to be here, or it's come out with vagaries every now and again, and that's about it.
He sometimes posts some picture of his teammates going, look how close we are. Look, I love being here with these guys.
Yeah, and
Can you think of any other players where this sort of situation happens? Because even Raiola's clients, this, you know, Mkhitaryan, I mean, okay, maybe you're not going to get that kind of fanfare, but Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, but there's a big fanfare with him at the moment. Which means Raiola's in the news again. Like, he personally is in the news again. But he's controlling his own narrative by just being everywhere, by being part of like three or four big headlines.
Yeah, but Zlatan does move on every year. He doesn't move on with a huge drama every time, does he? He does his 2-year contract and he goes, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a fanfare, is it?
Yeah, but well, what I'm saying is, Raiola is probably like, yeah, but at the moment, the fanfare with Zlatan is about the FIFA thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's what I'm on about. Again, he's finding himself to be part of narratives to get himself in the story.
Is he in that? I've not paid attention to. I knew that was a thing, but
he's pretty much been. He's like.
Is he the driver of it? Yeah,
yeah, he's driving it. Like Zlatan stood up somewhere where I don't like this at all. I'm not happy about it. So then he's just took the keys and he's now steering the bus into FIFA's headquarters. He's going to sort them out.
Hate to see that.
But yeah, that's. I think that is something you need to take into consideration. The fact that he probably is just. He's showing off what he does best, being him and being stupid and fat. That's not stupid, though, is it? Because he's actually quite clever, because he's getting everything he wants from it. But he's controlling the narrative, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but see, with
for his own game.
Yeah. So Cristiano Ronaldo's agent, Jorge Mendes, super agent, maybe the first ever super agent of the kind of modern era. I'm sure, and I know, to be fair, because I think he represents Mourinho as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he's come out and done some certain bits here and there. But to be fair, I mean, even Mourinho at his worst, I mean, that's a guy that's, he's a headline magnet himself. But when you've got Cristiano Ronaldo in your roster there, and you're saying, because I remember this, though, to be fair, there was problematic headlines a couple of years ago saying that Ronaldo is not happy in Madrid, and it just so happened to coincide with some sort of, alleged tax evasion or something like that. I mean, you know, there was some sort of thing. Alleged.
And there was a rape case.
Alleged.
Alleged.
There were issues where the club, the club weren't coming out and fully backing him.
Mm.
And so Jorge Mendes was like, my client is not happy. It went full Paul Heyman. My client! But he was not happy. He was putting that kind of point across where, like he'll move. He'll move, and then he was. I think. I mean, I might be wrong, but in the comments,
He got linked to us every summer for about or 4 years,
and
wasn't it?
I remember thinking, Ronaldo's never leaving. He's not leaving. He'll probably retire at Madrid, or he'll play at Madrid till he's about 35, then go to America and do all these kind of things. But clearly, there was something in the water because he moved, and he moved to Italy of all places. And these stories,
a place that is good for tax.
Well, but this is the thing, because this is Cristiano Ronaldo and this is Paul Pogba, who, you know, it's just, I could understand if Pogba was Fernandez, now you've got a problem. You got a big problem. If he's saying, look, the calibre of the players around him, they're not good enough. So Fernandez is looking for it's problematic as it is, but if that's your fulcrum of your team. But when it's Pogba, it's kind of weird. It's like, yeah, it's attention seeking. It's like, why is my boy not playing? Because I like him. He tries his best.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, no, but he's not in the team. And, I'm sick of him every week. I'm sick of it.
He's jumped on it after he scored a worldie against West Ham, though, as well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
a point where his stock is going ever so slightly up. And it's not. He's been quiet the whole time that he's been on the bench and performing like shit. So he knows what he's doing. Anyway, we'll move on from Pogba. Obviously, very frustrating. I'm sure many people have their opinions. So, if you listen to this and want to voice your opinion in our Facebook group or on the page, because we'll obviously be announcing the release of this and releasing clips, get involved and tell us what you think. We do have a Premier League game to focus on. Obviously, we don't want to focus too much on it. We had a decent win against West Ham. That was one that looked, again, looked like it was going to go the wrong way, but we turned it round. Obviously, it's a few days ago now, so there was glimmers of good form in that last half an hour, again, which we saw again tonight against Leipzig. We need to see those sorts of half an hours, but for 90 minutes against City, because City's not going to be easy. They've not been the greatest this season so far. We're, I think, a point ahead of them in the league. Probably be a tight game, though. You would at least hope it's a tight game, because we're at home. So you don't know what you're going to get with us, do you, at home?
It's again. What United's going to turn up for? Don't really know, do we? What's the chances of Cavani and Martial being back for this then?
Solskjaer said they were just slight knocks and nothing serious. So I will presume that both, if not one of, will be back.
I'd definitely like to see Cavani back then, because I think we missed some really big, missed things like that tonight. We missed his runs. We missed a bit of space making and some clinical finishing. So if I tell you what, I will go for this. I think United might. I think United could win if we start Cavani. It's a very bold statement, but
it is a bold statement.
I just, in my gut feeling, I just feel like he'll be the difference, and it might be like a 1-0.
You'd take it, wouldn't you? I mean,
100% take any win in the derby.
The theme for Manchester derbies recently has been the away side wins it. Until the last one before all the shit hit the fan in March, and we won 2-0 at home.
2-0.
Mm-hmm. McTominay in the last gasp.
Yeah.
And that clever Fernandez and Martial link up free kick. Yeah. That was a good day. Probably the last good day for a while, that one, weren't it? But yeah, we'd hope for something like that again. I don't know. Like you say, Matt, I don't know what to expect. You'd hope for a reaction to tonight, and the players are going to be down after going out of the Champions League. When you think about how much work they put in, especially from Fernandez's arrival, when they went on that massive run, undefeated for such a long run, the lockdown period where we just about got over the line, and it to fall short against Leipzig and go out in the group stages, it's going to be a bit demoralising. That's a bit of a worry. He's really going to have to pick the boys up on Saturday evening.
Half five.
Do you think we'll see a reaction on Saturday, James?
I think it's entirely possible. I think it's kind of emblematic of this Manchester United team that we've got now, where you just don't know. You really don't know. The talent is there.
Yeah.
To go and attack this City side and like you say, like City have not been themselves this season. So yeah. No one really has, have they, really?
No.
So,
well, they found themselves in a... Sorry to interrupt. They found themselves in a similar scenario as us, in that they went quite deep into Europe in August and came back late. They've still got a game in hand like us, so yeah. Similar position, and they've had similar fortunes. They've had a big home loss like we had. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, but that's it. So just it's the most topsy-turvy Premier League that we've seen, in a while. So I don't know, really. And to quote a caller on TalkSport, which I don't ever want to do again.
But you're doing it. It's happening.
He said, with Man United, and this was weeks ago, so with Man United this season, you don't know whether it's the feast or the famine. And hopefully we can be feasting on the blood and the bones of the Man City players. But
that was a bit graphic.
It was a little bit.
Very
yeah.
dark.
Yeah, but
we've had a bad night.
Screaming and someone's taking a bite. But hopefully we can just get some sort of like sense of... It's weird that the consistency is not our thing. But yeah, sometimes we're so good.
I don't know how we feel about consistency.
I don't like it. Apart from the only bit of consistency we do have is when Ollie needs to pull a result out of the bag, he does.
I could have done worse.
Well, yeah, but that yeah.
No. I mean, like, we're backed against the wall where pretty much people calling
for his head. Yeah, I know, but this...
People are calling for his head nearly every week.
Yeah, they are, but, like, you always feel the tension mounding on after certain games.
Yeah.
If it comes out in the press tomorrow and everyone's... And the wheel's going around again where people are getting on his case again, it might be a game where he's like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll be minting this game. Just ease off a bit.
You've got a point, because I think, yeah, I agree
with
you.
That's the consistency that we do have. We'll always do that when our backs are completely against the wall and, like, people are like, oh, I'll lose this. I think he's going to lose his job.
I agree, because on Saturday, you've got two scenarios, really. Well, you got three, okay, we can draw. But we win that game, and it's, what are you worried about? The league table doesn't lie. We are X amount of points ahead of City. We're X amount of points, because, again, there's variables in that because of who's playing and whatever. But we're X amount of points off top. And, listen, just trust the process. But then we lose, and that's another button you press where it's like being on a plane and you open the door at maximum altitude and everyone gets sucked out and Ollie's fired and Pogba's going anyway and Greenwood, what's he doing? And Rashford, come on now. And all of that. And Maguire's still got a big head and he can't plug the gap and we're all going to die.
Phil Jones got his backpack on.
Yeah, Jesus, the same every week, Robbie. You become Arsenal fan TV then, and that we want to not press that button.
Don't initiate
Arsenal fan TV.
No, we want to keep that button. That is the do not press.
Is that the Robbie button?
Yeah. What do you think of the performance? We want to stop all that.
But there's every chance.
But if we win, there's every chance of it. Yeah. That's the thing. If we win, right. It's sort of different because it's not... You always get the feeling, and that's what Matt's... He didn't say it in that kind of way, but yeah, that's it. Because when Solskjaer does that button, it's like, oh, in case of emergency, press this button. We avoid pressing the button and we sort of win. And it's, well, you know, fine. It's a stay of execution, you might call it. And I hate saying that because I don't like to think that Ollie is on his ass or anything like that. But having said that, when it comes to consistency... There comes to a point where Ollie has his talents, and it seems to be getting the best out of a team in certain situations. PSG away, that was, you've got to give him the credit. I've said it on this podcast before. When Ollie steers us to a victory, he deserves the credit. But when he, you know, when he sort of, when it's
when he falls
changes,
short, yeah.
Yeah, when the changes aren't right. And again, tonight we're not talking about tonight. We're talking about the Premier League, but the Champions League game, but then even the West Ham game, that we're getting that chance in the first half, we've set a team out there and it's not working and we're losing at half time, so we've got to change it. And then things start to work. Well, okay, then fine, but how about if you set the team out at first and then we start with, I don't know whose fault that is, you know, and I don't want to level that at Solskjaer, but it seems like so many times we're coming back because we've realised, hang on, this team selection wasn't right.
I think his main problem is, especially this season with the scenario everybody finds himself in, is that he's got a big squad. Some of it is a bit toss. Like, maybe a quarter of it is probably not good enough. So he's still kind of, he's working with more players than he had last year that he trusts. But still not enough. But in some ways, he's still got too many because he can't gel them together because he needs to keep rotating so that they're not getting tired. And I kind of agree with Gary Neville on this, that this season being remarkable at certain points is a bit of a fallacy because we got the exact same amount of games this December that we had last December. There's no more going on. No. But... I think there is the feeling that they have to rotate more and they have to change the lineup more and they have to, like, the midfield is never the same from one game to another, and we're never going to get consistency that way, are we? But he's got so many midfielders to keep happy. He's actually got choices up front now and there's starting to be a few injuries and he's having to change it around. And then we're changing from a back three to a back four and we've got a new left back, and it all sounds like excuses, but we were at our best after lockdown when we had a consistent lineup, and we ended up just running them into the ground because we couldn't do it when it wasn't them. Like, any time we made changes, we were knackered. Like, when he made wholesale changes, like in the FA Cup game against Norwich, we were shit. He couldn't bring his second 11 in and rely on him. It came down to relying on Bruno being there or Rashford or whoever. So I think that's his problem with consistency, is he's trying to find a good rotation within the squad and keep people happy and keep people fit, and it's just not quite coming off. So he is starting games with a plan in his head and then going, no, I'm going to have to change it to the thing that we know works. And I think that's where he finds himself, but he can't run the players into his ground because, yeah, there is an argument that we got a lot of games in short succession. Whether it is the same all the way through the season, I don't know, but he has got to be careful because the season is demonstrably shorter and is more condensed in parts. So, and it obviously is a, what's the word? Unprecedented times. So, yeah.
I've not heard that before.
No, that's a new phrase that I've just invented.
Well, so, we all love Ollie though, and he's our manager. It's no one's calling for his head or anything like that. But just to clarify my point, it's basically just,
yeah.
There comes a point where, you know, what are we doing week to week, though? I mean, because, again, I don't want to compare him to Fergie, but just, I don't know. You look at the Liverpool team, they've got different players to us and all that, I get it, but Ollie's going to, I said it last time out, Ollie's going to live and die by these kind of results and these decisions, and I'd hate to see him fired, I really would. I really would.
Hopefully we get something on Saturday, preferably a win. What would be your prediction, Matthew, quickly?
I'm going to go with my past prediction, 1-0 at Cavani.
1-0 to Edinson Cavani. Mm-hmm. What would you go, James?
I think, do you know what? I'm going to predict that we bounce back. Yeah, got some bounce back ability
yeah.
Yeah, I think. I'm going to go with the, I'm going to go with us 2-1. Why not? I'm not going to predict the goal scorers, but 2-1.
That means I win.
Well, do you? Because I am going to go the same as you. I think a little 1-0 could be the one this week. I'm just kind of hoping that as well, to be fair, rather than predicting. hopefully it materialises. We've all predicted positively. And if there's one thing we've learned recently, is when you expect good things from Manchester United, good things that don't happen. So maybe we should just all reverse all of that and say,
to be fair, with the West Ham performance, I said we were going to lose 2-0.
Okay, so you need to predict a loss. So,
Man City going to win 1-0. Cavani scores, own goal.
That works. Okay.
But my prediction, I'm assuming that City are going to score first. So that plays directly into our hands.
It does.
Come on, fate.
Okay, right. If we have any control over the universe, which I am pretty sure we do on this podcast, then we're in for it, guys. Okay, that's been the Devil's Trident podcast. We'll be back at the weekend this time. Last time I lied to you because we didn't do one at the weekend because it was only going to be live for about 30-odd hours before it became old news, so we didn't bother. But this weekend we will. So we'll see you probably Monday, and we'll be talking about the City game, and hopefully we'll all have big audio smiles on our face. Okay, I've been Simon. This has been Matthew. Say goodbye, Matt.
Bye.
Say goodbye, James.
See you in a bit. Goodbye.
I said goodbye, not see you in a bit. All right. Anyway, don't matter, guys. Right, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.